Hi, this is Ned Ryan, President of American Majority. I want you to do something in the next week or so. Stop someone on the street and ask, if you were running for office, how many people do you need to persuade to vote for you in order to win an election? Usually the answer will be a majority, or more than the next guy, or 50% plus one, or something along those lines. Many people running for office would answer this question exactly the same way. The truth of the matter is that you need to persuade far less than 50% of the people to vote for you in the general election in order for you to win. And you need even less in a primary. If you can grasp this fact clearly, it will have serious implications for how you go about running your campaign. Let's consider this issue chronologically backward and start with the general election, ignoring the primary for right now. So how many people really do you have to persuade to vote for you in order for you to win the general election? To illustrate using real numbers, let's consider an off-year election, and by that I mean a year without a presidential election. For example, 1998. This is where most people will have their best chance of winning a seat for the first time. Why is that? It's because statistics show that voter turnout in off-year elections often runs more than 10 points lower than during presidential years. Since voter turnout is lower in an off-year, those candidates with a more motivated base will stand a better chance of winning. First of all, you have to consider who can vote. Felons cannot vote. The Amish, usually, do not vote. Despite the mantra of the Clinton years about doing everything for the children, we have to remember that children cannot vote. So really, the starting point is that only around 70% of the people are actually eligible to vote at all. Next, we have to note that those who are eligible to vote in the general election, again, only about 70% actually are registered, were registered in 1998. So 70% of the entire population is actually eligible to vote, and of that 70%, only 70% are actually registered. I hope that makes sense. But if you're following, what I'm trying to show is that by a process of elimination, the numbers it takes to win a race are often much less than you think. Some people don't care, while others haven't gotten around to registering to actually vote. In any event, the result is the same. Those people not registered will not be in a polling station on election day to vote. Of course, there are some exceptions to that rule, like Minnesota, which has same-day registration and voting. But the majority of states require registration to take place weeks ahead of the vote. But we can't stop yet. It must be remembered that of the 70% who are registered to vote, in the best of elections, only 50 to 60% of those registered to vote will actually turn out and cast a ballot. In 1998, the figure nationally was 51.5%, though in 2004, a presidential year, the number was about 60%. It's disturbing that so many people do not choose to exercise their right to vote, and it's such a shame that a wonderful right is treated with such disregard. But a fact it is. These figures also explain why it is so important to register voters who you think will be favorable to your positions, and then you get them to the polls. We could stop at this point and say, okay, you only have to win 50% of the voters who actually vote in order to win the general election. In 1998, this figure is approximately 17% of the total population of a typical congressional district. Figuring that only 70% are actually eligible to vote, only 70% of those eligible are actually registered, and only 50% of those who are actually registered to vote actually turn out and vote. Only 17.6% of the total population has to be with you for you to win. Does that all that make sense? Putting it in terms of registered voters, you only need about 25% of all registered voters to carry the day. This is technically accurate, but if you stop there, you're really missing the whole question. The real question is, and the one I asked earlier, is not how many votes you need to win, but rather how many voters do you need to persuade to vote for you in order to win your election. There are many who will vote for you who you do not need to persuade. Realize I am using partisan elections as an example right now. So, for example, the elected officials of your political party will likely vote for you in the general election. Likewise, your political party's chairman, precinct people, etc., are almost for sure to vote for you, even if for whatever reason they do not lend you their public support. Generally, they might be afraid you could lose and don't want your loss to rub off on them. In fact, unless your campaign is a complete disaster, most of the voters who strongly favor your political party will vote for you simply because you are of a particular party. So I'm getting down to the answer. The number of voters you have to actually persuade to vote for you in the general election is the number of independent or opposite party voters it takes to add to the basic base of your own political party to achieve a majority. This can be a very small number of people in comparison to the population as a whole. Working through an example will help illustrate this point. If only 40% of the people who usually vote are already in your party, how many more folks do you really need to win? Of course, you need to convince about 10% more of the voting populace to vote for you. Remember, however, that this 10% is a small number of the people who actually vote. In terms of registered voters as a whole, this would mean you only need about 5%, since half of the registered voters don't vote. In other words, if you can persuade 5% more of the registered voters to vote for you, you actually have a really good chance of winning. In terms of eligible to vote adults, you would only need to persuade 3.5%, since only 70% of eligible voters are actually registered. As you can see in this example, in the general election, there is a relatively small number of voters who are truly in play, even if you only have 40% of the people aligned with your party. As an aside, this is one of the reasons why it's nearly impossible for an independent candidate in a partisan race to win an election. I think this whole idea of numbers and percentages is a fascinating topic, and I'll continue with it in next week's podcast.